Hey, this is Pastor Ricky at MetaChurch, and I just wanted to take a moment to welcome our entire podcast listening audience and share a little bit about what's taking place at MetaChurch during the month of December. It's a special time for us as we begin our Make Room Christmas series and our Make Room Christmas offering. Every year around this time, we step out in faith and do a Christmas offering that enables our church to continue to make a greater impact and reach more people both in New York City and around the world. And we want to invite you, our listening audience, to be a part of this year's Make Room offering. You see, we believe that God is inviting us to make room in our lives so that He can fill it with even greater things. And this year's offering is about setting up our church to have greater impact in 2020 and beyond. And so if you'd like to be a part of it, we want to encourage you to listen, we want to encourage you to follow, but we also want to invite you and encourage you to give. You can visit meta.church/give, select the Christmas offering option, and designate any amount that you'd like to help support this ministry and the mission that God has called us to. We're grateful for you, and we cannot wait to celebrate how God will move through our Make Room offering.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. My name is Krista. If I haven't had the chance to meet you, I am one of the lead pastors here. But you guys, we are back. We are back week two of our series, Make Room. Not only that, I am back after eating my body weight in tacos in San Diego last week. And not only that, you are back. Yes, you are. You are back after Ricky spoke about giving last week. Well done. Good job. No, there's nothing that I've learned more in being a pastor's kid my whole life is that things can get a little awkward when the pastor talks about giving and money, and you're back, and I'm proud of you guys. This is such a big deal because it can get a little awkward, but here's what I hope. If you heard Ricky's message last week, I hope it encouraged you so much. If you didn't hear it, I will encourage you, if Meta Church is your home church, to go back and listen to that. It was as if last week Ricky shared a scrapbook, if you will, of these moments, these significant moments in our church. And I hope when you heard those stories that you saw that though our church doesn't look like your average church, right? We're in a basement art studio. We're small. I hope, though, last week you saw that God is in this, guys, that God is in this from the very beginning, and that should get us pumped and excited about what He promises He's going to do in the future. And Ricky did an incredible job of celebrating the things that God's done in the past, but He gave us incredible vision of what God wants to do in the future, specifically in the year 2020. Ricky shared that we are going to, as a church, we're going to step out and we're going to seek out the person that we know is chosen to lead live worship at Meta Church. And that is so exciting for us. That is something that we are all so excited about, so expected about, that we are actually going to allot everything we get pretty much for the Christmas offering. It's going to this worship leader to make room for worship at Meta Church. And we are so looking forward to that. We're so excited about it. But even in all that excitement, talking about giving is still a little awkward, is it not? One of my favorite stories, we've shared this before, but one of my favorite stories is about my friend Eric and Antoniella. And this is the perfect story to describe the awkwardness that surrounds money giving and churches and pastors. So we didn't know Eric and Antoniella at the time. They're some of our closest friends today. And they were our neighbors, and Antoniella invited us over to meet her family. Me and Ricky were so excited. We were kind of nerdy. We were like, let's get all dressed up. We're going to make new friends. And we were so excited. We like went over to their house, knocked on their door. There was Antoniella. She's wonderful. If you've met her, she's great. Her children are beautiful. There's just one problem. Eric was nowhere to be found. We couldn't find him. 45 minutes goes by and he's still nowhere. And I remember Antoniella getting kind of nervous and she's like, hey, I'll be right back. I'm going to go check on him. And I remember going upstairs. I remember her coming back down, and I'll never forget the look on her face. It was kind of like this, like confused, like, he's taking a shower. And I remember being like, what? Like, we've been here for 45 minutes. Another 15 minutes goes by. It literally took him an hour to come down. And years later, he would tell us, when we were friends and that was all behind us, that the reason he didn't come down was he knew that we were pastors. And in his mind, he believed we were there to ask him for all of his money. He believed this. So he took an abnormally long shower, right? I get it. Awkward. It can be so awkward talking about giving, right? Maybe you feel a little bit like Eric, like, ooh, that's uncomfortable. But you know what's crazy? Giving is also kind of overwhelming if we're honest. In this season of our lives, everything is pulling us in so many different directions, right? There's last minute gifts to give. There's tips. We got to tip the doorman, guys. You know, we got to tip the doorman. There's last minute appointments. There's so many things pulling for our attention. It can be awkward. It can be overwhelming. But guys, giving is not something we should avoid talking about. You see, when we look at scripture, when we look at the people's lives that we want to emulate, the people's lives that inspire us, the Abrahams, right? The faith of Abraham, the men like David who were courageous and a man after God's own heart. What we realize is that giving's not something to avoid. In fact, it's something we should address head on. That is, if we desire to, to aspire to live the lives that they lived. Right. I was reminded of this last week when I was looking at the life of David, and I want to share a scripture with you that shows the significance of giving in David's life, but specifically how he gave that was significant. Here's the verse. It's 2 Samuel 24:24. It says this: I'm not going to offer God, my God, sacrifices that are no sacrifice. This is David speaking. I'm not going to offer God, my God, sacrifices that are no sacrifice. It's 13 words in this passage. But so many of them jump out at me from the screen. The first words that jump out at me are the words, I'm not. You see, David knows more what he won't give God than what he will give God. He knows what he refuses to give God more than he knows what he'll give him. It's kind of like when you move to New York City, okay? I've done this twice in the last 7 years. That's another story for another time. But here's what I know. Moving to New York City 101 is this. You're going to have to get rid of everything. Right? You're going to have to get rid of so much. And here's what my husband knows, is that I might not know what I'm going to get rid of, but I do know what I'm not going to get rid of. You're the same way, right? I thought of you, Jocelyn, in this. Jocelyn knows what she knows what she wants. She knows what she wouldn't get rid of, okay? And my husband knows that everything is on the table. I'll get rid of anything except for my dining room table, okay? I'm not going to get rid of my dining room table, and I'm not going to get rid of my KitchenAid. The dog, I mean, it's up for debate, okay? My child, two bedrooms are really expensive. I'm not going to get rid of my kitchen table. I'm not going to get rid of my KitchenAid. Understand, David was the same way. David knew what he wasn't going to give God. He could have given God a million things. And believe me, he was a powerful man that had a lot he could give. But he knew only one thing he would not give God. And that was a sacrifice that was no sacrifice. Right. Those are the next words that stick out to me. Sacrifices that are no sacrifice. It's interesting, right? I can hear your thoughts. You're like, wait a second, Krista. But aren't all sacrifices kind of a sacrifice, right? Aren't all gifts given kind of generous? And the answer is no. Thank you for playing, but no. It's why there's a little plastic cup right beneath your hand when you get your change at the coffee shop. Here's what the barista knows that maybe you don't know, is that there are some things in your life, be it nickels or pennies, that are not as meaningful to you. Therefore, they're not as valuable to you. Therefore, you're more easily given to them, right? You'll give them the nickels. You'll give them the pennies. Right. And here's what David is saying in the scripture. He's saying, I do not want to give my God something meaninglessly, mindlessly thrown into a tip jar. I want it to be meaningful. I want it to be valuable. David is saying, I don't want to give something mindless. Right. I want to give something generous.
Yes.
Yeah. Here's the thing about generosity. This is good. Buckle your seatbelts for this. Here's the thing about generosity is that it is least accurately measured by how much we give and more accurately measured by how we feel when we give it.
Yeah, right.
I'll say that again because it's real good, guys. Listen. It's least accurately measured by how much we give, but generosity is more measured by how we felt when we give it. I learned this last week on this, you know, excursion I went on eating my body weight in tacos and all. As I was coming back from that trip, we had a cross-country flight, two of them. And I remember as I'm preparing for these flights, we wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and here's what I know about myself is I know that if I get tired and hungry, someone's probably gonna die. Like literally, like I know this about myself. Ricky knows this about myself. Like I have to be responsible to this. So I'm like, Krista, you're gonna be a mess. You need to bring a snack. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna bring a snack. Bring my Kind bar, right? I have my Kind bar. I tuck it in my back pocket, okay? Because here's what I know. I'm gonna get hangry. And also I know with certainty that my husband is barely gonna get me on my connecting flight. So I might not have time to eat. So I have to prepare. I have my Kind bar in my backpack, okay? I make it through the first flight. I keep that Kind bar, okay? We barely make it to our next flight, as I expected. On that second flight, we're 3 hours in. I got 3 hours left to go because JFK is going to take an hour to get back. I'm like planning this out, and I make a decision. I feel the rage starting to come up, and I'm like, Krista, take the Kind bar out. So I take the Kind bar out. I open it up, and at the exact same time that I open it up, the little miniature human next to me like stares up at me. She's like, Mommy, I'm hungry. And I'm like, no. Okay, can I tell you something? That Kind bar is worth $2 at Christie's, okay? But understand, when I gave her that Kind bar, it might only be worth $2, but that act of generosity was felt. It was an act of generosity. You know this feeling in your life. You are faced with this same decision every single time. You open up your Seamless app and order Chinese takeout. You know this feeling, okay? When you put your little sweet and sour chicken and your fried rice in your little, what is it, your little shopping bag, okay? And you have the choice, do you not, to tip 10%, 15%, or 20%. Here's what I've learned, is there may be only a $1.50 difference, but there's one that you feel more than the other. I'll go back and forth. I'll be like, ooh, that's it. Okay. Here's what you learn is that one of those is not felt. One of those is felt. One of those is a sacrifice. One of them isn't. One is generous. The other is not. And here's what David is saying, guys. He's saying, I want to feel it. That God is worthy of giving him something that is meaningful and valuable, not mindlessly thrown in a tip jar, but something that is felt.
Yeah.
And here's why. He felt that way. Here's why he wanted to give something so generous to God. And these are the next words that stand out to me. It says, I'm not going to offer God, my God, a sacrifice that is no sacrifice. You missed it. I'll explain this. God, my God. You see, David gave sacrificially because of who God was to him personally.
Right.
God, my God. David gave sacrificially because of who God was to him personally. If I told you about my husband, I would tell you, Ricky. But if I said, Ricky, my husband, my best friend, my loyal companion, who always has us almost missing the second flight, I'm telling you that it's personal, that this is a relationship, right? And that's who David was. That's his relationship that he had with God. It was personal. I want to share with you some things that I like kind of went through scripture and just kind of looked at, the things that stood out to me of who God was to David personally. And I want to share those things with you. There's only five of them. Really, there probably could be hundreds, but I just picked the five that were just jumping out at me. But as I tell you these five things of who God was to David, if you are a new Christian and you don't know God super well, or maybe you don't know him at all, I want you to know that this God is available to you this morning, that this is who he could be for you. But if you do have a relationship with God, then as I go through these things of who God was to David, I want you to think to yourself who God has been to you, specific and unique to you. The first set, I'll put them up on the screen, all five of them. This is who God was to David personally. The first is God was David's strength. God, my strength. You see, David, though he is often attributed to having a favored life, he didn't have an easy one, not even close. There was pain. There was great loss. There was epic failure. There were terrifying circumstances, and through it all, God was his strength. There's so many moments in scripture where David is literally on this journey, and he grieves so intensely that he stops and is like not able to move on. And you know what God does for him? Renews his strength.
Yeah.
I love how David describes God as, God, you are my strength and my song. There's nothing more strong than someone who is singing in the middle of their storm. And that is who God was to David. That's what God enabled to him to do. God was his strength. Not only that, God was his shepherd. Psalm 23, famous passage, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." David is always describing God as the force that is leading him to good things and leading him through bad things. That's who God was to David. I love he also describes God similarly as a lamp that lights up his darkness. You see, David never, not once, walked alone. God was his shepherd. Not only that, God was his protector. You see in scripture, David described God as his shield, his fortress, his safe place, his rock, which is incredible because here's the thing about David is he was up against a lot in his life. There were lions that he had to stand triumphant over, bears, there were giants, innumerable enemies, and through it all, God protected him. Not only that, David said that God is his redeemer. God is his redeemer. I love the scripture where David says these words. He says, "You brought me up from the grave, God. Lifted me from the pit."
Yes, okay.
My group, my small group, we were talking about this a few weeks back, and we were talking about how suffering, the idea that suffering is a gift. And I kind of fall in the category of those crazy people that really, I believe it is. It's crazy, but I do. And here's why. Is if your marriage has never struggled, if you've never royally screwed your life up, if your mental state has never been fragile and you've never experienced suffering, then you don't know how far God will go to grab a hold of you again. Right. Yeah. You don't know the great lengths he will go to lift you from the grave, lift you from the pit, get you up on your feet and dust you off. David knew that. David knew God as his redeemer. Yeah. Not only that, this last one, he knew God as his anointer, his anointer. I love that David never took credit for who he was. He always gave God glory.
Yes,
okay. It says this, these are his final words that David spoke of himself. And these are powerful. He literally gives all glory to God. He says this of himself. He says, "David, the man who was raised up so high, David, the man anointed by God. It was God who called David, little shepherd boy, out of the sheep pens and set him up high as king over Israel." David never took credit. And I can't help but feel that there are some of us in this room that maybe we've forgotten that we are who we are. We're where we're at because of what God has done. It was him who did it. And maybe in this moment, we need to have a moment, close your eyes and whisper to God, "God, you did it. God, I forgot that. God, I'm grateful. God, you are my anointer." This is who God was to David. It was personal. God, my strength, my shepherd. Now I want to turn it to you guys. Who has God been to you? Who has God been to you? You have a little paper on your chair and it says, "God, my blank." Who has God been to you? Maybe they're similar to David. Maybe they're completely different. Who has God been to you in the last year? Who has he shown himself to be? Maybe, let's be honest, maybe God hasn't shown him to be something specific to you in this last year. Maybe it's a difficult year and you're having a hard time seeing his goodness in it, seeing his presence in it. Listen, I have been there time and time again. If that's you this morning, then I don't want you to pull from who God has been to you in the last year. I want you to pull from who God has been to you in the last decade. Who has he been to you in your life? You see, if you're not reveling in who he is to you today, this last year, then you can rehearse who he's been in the course of your life. That's what David did time and time again. I love the scripture where David says, "When my soul is down in the dumps, I will rehearse all that I know about you."
Right.
I will rehearse. Who has God been to you in the last year? Because here's the thing, it's who is available to you even now. You see, God doesn't change, we do.
Right.
He's still the same. Who has God been to you? I want you to write that down. Seek that truth over you. Who has he been? And understand that that's what David gave from, is the gratitude of that.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this last week of who God has been to me in my life. And obviously, how do you pick three, right? But here's the ones that just really stood out to me. In 2015, I got to learn and get to know God, my restorer. Like, I don't know how to put this into words, but I wouldn't be standing in front of you today for so many reasons if it wasn't for what God's done in my life. You see, he let everything seemingly crumble in my life, but then he did something amazing. He rebuilt me. He rebuilt my marriage. He rebuilt my life, rebuilt it from the ground up, and I wouldn't be standing in front of you. I wouldn't be still married, and I would arguably, maybe potentially not be still breathing if it wasn't for God, my restorer in my life.
Yeah.
In 2018, I got to know and experience God, my heavenly Father. I don't have a relationship with my earthly father. I haven't in a long time. But in 2018, I learned something incredible. I don't need one. I don't need one. You see, in those moments when I would need comfort, I would need wisdom and guidance, when I would just need someone to say, Krista, I'm proud of you, God, my heavenly Father would swoop in. He would tell me exactly what I need to know, always teaching me that I don't need anything I've lost.
Yeah.
Including a relationship with my Father. He is all that I need. I got to experience God, my heavenly Father. And over this last year, and even over these last 3 years, I couldn't help but remember that I have experienced God, my provider. Man, has God provided for me and my family. Ricky shared last week that we opened up a bank account 3 years ago to start this church, and it was me, and it was Ricky, and it was Gia, and we had $330. And here is what I have always felt is the impossibility of what we're up against. The impossibility. And yet, looking back, he has never failed me, not once. He has provided for every single thing he has planned. And I can't help but be so grateful for God, my provider. Who has God been to you in your life? Because it's who he always promises to be. And you see, David was grateful for that, so grateful that it spurred him to want to give generously to that God. Are you grateful this morning? Are you grateful? But you see, David didn't just give to God sacrificially because of who he was to him personally. David also gave sacrificially because he wanted to see God move impressively.
That's good. Yeah.
David gave sacrificially because he wanted to see God move impressively.
Yep.
Do you want to see God move impressively in your life?
Right.
Do you? Do you want to see the same power and provision and miracles that are in Scripture? Do you want to see those in your everyday life? Maybe some of you in this room are like, I don't want to see God that way. I need to see God that way. Listen, where I was at this time last year, I needed God to show up and do some miracles. Maybe you need God to move impressively. Understand, that's where I was at, but that's also where David was at.
Yeah.
You see, David, at the time that he spoke the words of that scripture, that he was experiencing situations where he needed God to move big in his life. At this time, an epidemic swept through Jerusalem, killing 70,000 people in one day. 70,000 people that he was responsible for. Yeah. It was on his watch. David was desperate. David needed God to move. And so he did something surprising. He offered God an offering,
yeah,
a generous one. And here's what I think David understood, is that David wanted to see God move significantly, so he gave sacrificially.
Yeah.
Because here's what I think David knew, is that the degree in which God is capable of moving in your life is directly dependent on how much room you give him to do so. God wants to move powerfully in our life, but will we give him the room to do so? That's what generosity does, is it makes room for God to move.
Right.
Generosity empties ourselves of something significantly valuable, all while making room for God to do something, yeah, show-stoppingly miraculous.
Yep.
Making room for God to move is like giving someone room to move in a game of kickball. Listen, you can kick a propelling ball no matter how tight of a space you have to work with. Can you not? God can too. But if you give someone room enough to get a running head start, right? You give him more room, then the further and more impressive the resulting kick. Understand, God wants to kick it out of the park in your life.
Right.
He wants to show you his power of what he could do to the full extent in which he could do it. The question is, will we give him enough space to move in our life?
Yeah.
Will we be generous? Because you see, the greater the space we make, the more miraculously and powerfully our God can move. David understood that. David wanted to see God move miraculously and powerfully.
Yep.
There's two ways that God wants to move in your life this morning. And the first one is this: God wants to move impressively through you. God wants to move impressively through you.
Yeah.
Malachi 3:10 says this. This is God speaking. He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be food in my temple. Here's what God is saying is that I want to move impressively through you. I want to partner with you to provide for my church.
So
here's what he's saying. He's saying, Sebastian, you bring all that you've got. Ricky, you bring the best that you can. Eric, you bring the best that you've got. Preeti, bring the best that you got so that I can provide. There will be food in my temple so that there will be singing in our church next year. Here's the honest truth. We will be celebrating a year from now. I promise you that.
Yep.
We will be celebrating with praise on the tips of our tongue, literally and figuratively, of all the things God has done, including bringing a worship leader. The question is, to what extent do we want to be a part of it?
Right. So good.
He's going to do it. Do you want to remember? Do you want to look back on the fact that we were holding back or that we were all in? That we were like, yes, I'm going to participate. I'm going to partner with God. Or will you look back and remember that you were sitting on the sidelines?
Yeah.
God wants to move impressively through you.
Come on, Kristen.
Mm-hmm. But that's not all he wants to do. No, not even close. God wants to move impressively for you.
Yep.
God wants to move impressively for you.
Yeah.
I shared with you in the beginning that I know the awkwardness around giving. I know it well because I was a pastor's kid my whole life. Okay, I know the awkwardness, people dancing around the idea of giving. But I'm going to be really honest with you. Because I was a pastor's kid, I also know the awkwardness in which pastors dance around giving as well, right? They do. And here's what I was thinking as I was preparing this message, because believe it or not, this is my first message I've ever spoken on giving. So if it sucks, feel free to talk to my boss after the service. But here's the truth. As I was preparing this message and really seeking my own soul, I realized I'm at risk of shying away from and pushing back from also sharing this stuff. And here's what I could hold back from telling you. Here's what I could shy away from telling you is that God wants to move impressively through you. That part I could not tell you. And here's why. I actually don't think God needs our help.
Yeah.
I don't fall in the category of that. Like, I believe the God who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, who says he will build his church, I actually don't think he needs our help. I just think he invites us to participate.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like when your grandma invites you to bake with her. Right? Okay, make no mistake, she could do it more efficiently and more effectively without your help. Okay? But she invites you anyway. Why? Because years from now, she wants to look back with you on all the things you did and built together. Understand, God is inviting us to do the very same thing. He could do this on his own. He could probably do it more efficiently and more effectively on his own, but he invites us to partner with him so that we can look back on years from now, when we're far from New York City, when we're far from Metachurch, we can look back and see all the things that he invited us to do and build together. It's incredible, is it not?
Yeah.
I could hold back from telling you that because, frankly, I don't believe God needs our help. But what I could never hold back from telling you is that God wants to move impressively for you.
Yeah.
I've never hold back from telling you that. I want to tell you right here and right now two times that God moved impressively for me. Two times. I could list off a million. I'm going to give you two. The first time I gave so little to God, it was pathetic. And God showed me he could do so much more. This was back in 2014. Ricky and I have been honest that that year of our life was horrendous, disastrous. It destroyed everything in our lives. We lost everything. We say that often, but you don't believe me, okay? You're like, oh yeah, we're desensitized. You're like, everything, what is everything? I'm gonna prove it right here, right now, okay? 2014, we gave to a Christmas offering, not our own, it was a different church. And we gave every single dollar that we had in our savings account. There's just one problem. There was only $300 in my savings account. Am I wrong?
No.
$300 is what we gave. We gave so little, guys. But God showed us he could do so much more than that. You see, that year of our lives would be a year of blessing and favor like I had never experienced in my entire life. Not only would God give Ricky a bonus magically a week later that was so much more than what we gave. That's what God does, though. That's actually like, those are the basics. That's textbook. He always does that. There are people in this room, he did that for you last year. Amen?
Amen.
But what God would do in the future, that next year of our lives, I remember I would write a blog post. You could still look this blog post up. It was called 1 Year, 85,000 Blessings. God would go on to give us our dream house. I remember the man who was selling the house said these words. I'll never forget it. He said, God told me to sell you my house. What is it going to take for you to buy it? Okay. God would give Ricky his dream car, paid in full. Here, gifted. That year was the craziest year of my life. And I learned that God saw what I gave so little, and he gave me so much. That's who God is. He wanted to move impressively for me. It's who he is. The second time I want to share with you is a time that I gave so much. I was really proud of myself. And God just laughed and was like, I could do so much more than that. Yeah. You see, just last year, we gave so much to the Christmas offering. We gave so much, it literally took my breath away, made me uncomfortable. Which, pause, just a moment. Let's think about this. Only a few years ago, I only had $300 to my name. This last year, I was able to give him so much that it took my breath away. That's not me. That was God.
Yes,
he
yeah,
did that.
Right, yeah.
So we gave so generously that it took my breath away, made me emotional. And God just smiled and laughed and was like, that's cute, Krista. That's a lot for you, but it's not a lot for me. You see, just recently, my husband received a raise from his job. That literally the amount per month was the exact amount that we gave for the Christmas offering. And I just feel like God was like this, like, yeah, that generous gift you gave me, super cute. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to raise you one. I'm going to give you that exact amount every single month. You guys, this isn't made up. This is who God is. God wants to move impressively for you.
Right.
If you don't believe me, I'm going to prove it to you. Here's what Malachi 3:10 goes on to say. Here's how it starts. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. This is God asking you to partner with him to provide for his church. But then he tells you what's going to happen next. If you do, understand there's a choice there. There is for all of us.
Right.
If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great, you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put it to the test. Put me to the test. This is what God is saying in this passage, and don't miss it. If you let me move impressively through you, I will move impressively for you. That's what God is saying to us. He's saying, hold nothing back from me, and I will hold nothing back from you. And he's saying, that's cute. That's cute because what I have in my power is so much greater than anything you could ever have.
Right.
I love how we're in a series called Make Room. And in that scripture, God says, yeah, you make room for me to move, and you won't have enough room for all the blessings I give. That is who God is. And here's the truth, is that I could hold back from telling you that because there are so many pastors that do, and here's why. And maybe you're having these thoughts too. Maybe you're like, she's up there boasting. But I'm not boasting about me. I'm boasting about my God, what he's done.
Yep.
There's people that say, I don't know, that generous offering, it seems like you're manipulating God. I'm not manipulating God, never have been. I've always been making room for the miracle, taking him at his word, putting him to the test.
Right.
And here's what he's saying is, if you let me move impressively through you, I will buckle your seatbelts. I will move impressively for you. Don't believe me and the words of God, try it.
Yeah.
Put him to the test. I'm telling you, the same would be true for you as it has been for me. God, when God moves impressively for you, it changes everything about you. Changes everything about you. We just have to make room for him to move. How much room will we make for him to move in our lives?
Yeah.
I want to end and close our time together with the same verse we started with this morning. David says this, I'm not going to offer God, my God, sacrifices that are no sacrifice. You see, David made room for God through his generous offering. And in doing that, he ushered in the power of God. God moved into action and set things right, picked him up, made things great. And he was reveling in the power of God that he got to experience. David made room for God. Will we do the same? I'm going to leave you with just one question and then I'll pray. What impressive stories might we be able to tell on the other side of our sacrifice? Let's pray.
Hey, thanks for listening to this week's podcast. We hope it encourages you in your faith and blesses you throughout the week. If you'd like to find out more about Meta Church, you can find us online at meta.church. And we hope to see you again next week on the podcast.